We're gonna be going from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 10, starting off. We're going to do a lot of scripture. Like I usually always say, if you haven't read your Bible this week, then this is good for you because I usually like to do a lot of scripture. But Philippians 4, verses 4 through 10, I'm going to try to break this down the best way that the Lord gave it to me. But one of the biggest things that we have, that the body of Christ, you can call it an issue, you can call it whatever you want to call it. I'm just going to say issue just because that's the way that I talk. But one of the biggest issues that the body of Christ has, and I think one of the biggest hindrances that the body of Christ has, is worry. Worry, fear, and anxiety. It literally cripples the body of Christ because those are things that we're not supposed to have. Because if we truly believe that our Father is who he says he is, and that we are heirs and co-heirs with Christ, why worry? Why have anxiety? I mean, we all know the scripture that says, seek first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then these things will be added to you. It talks about not worry. Don't worry about what tomorrow brings. You know that scripture. But the Lord gave me this scripture, these verses for the church a couple of weeks ago. And as soon as I found out that I was going to be able to speak here, it immediately came back to me. So we're going to try to dissect and see what the Lord does this morning. Are y'all with me this morning? Are y'all awake? Amen. All right. We're going to start off in verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. It says this. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to go back and kind of break down what I studied and what the Lord gave me. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at least you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. So I guess 4 through 9 is where we wanted to go. But we're going to concentrate really on 4 through 7. We're going to read 4 through 7 one more time real quick. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want to stop there for just a second. And the Lord is doing something in individuals and in different pockets of different churches in America specifically right now, that people are finally starting to realize that worship is not just something that you do on Sunday mornings when you raise your hand and listen to a band praise the Lord. Worship is a lifestyle that you live. I really put it in my kids that when they're playing volleyball or when they're cheering or when they're playing baseball or football, that they are worshiping the Lord. That every act that they do is unto the Lord. Like when you're at work, that's worship. Like we have to stop dividing it, saying, well, I'm coming Sunday to worship the Lord. I mean, I understand what we say and I understand that phrase because you come what we call, this is how it is in the South. I'm going to the house of God to worship the Lord. When the Lord actually says, you are the house of God, now worship me. I mean, and that's really how it should be, and that's really how it is. If we go to scripture, he says, I no longer dwell in things made with hands of men, but I dwell in each and every believer. John 14:15, abiding. We could go on and on about that, but I think the Lord is, what he is doing, or not necessarily what he is doing, but what we are finally starting to realize is that worship is a lifestyle. What you do is worship unto the Lord. Phineas, when you weld, when you do those pipelines, it's worship unto the Lord. You direct everything that you do as if you're doing it unto the Lord. But people have tried to say, well, your work is not holy. Negative. Jesus in me has given me the ability to work. Therefore, my work becomes holy because I'm doing it unto him. I'll never forget this one time with me and Alex. He just started helping me do cabinets. And this, I tell this story actually at different places. And we were doing cabinets at this house. It was the first one I did for Bruce and them. And it was a house. It was towards Green Bay. Like, it was like 2.5 hours away. Alex might not even remember this. But we were sitting there. And Jason Upton's song was playing. And it was When the Angels Sing with Jason Upton. You remember? Okay. And so we're doing cabinets, right? And Alex is like, whew, he's just like, I don't really do it. He's like, I feel the Lord. And he's doing that. And he's like, man, I don't know what to do right now. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I don't know if we should stop and just stop and acknowledge the Lord, or what should we do right now? And I was like, well, the Lord gave me this job. We're going to be good stewards of this job, and we're going to worship the Lord as we work this job. I said, so we're going to continue to work, and we're going to continue to speak in tongues. We're going to continue to worship. But that is life. Like, we have to understand that it's not like Jesus is just inviting us to be a part of a church service. Jesus says, you are the church. I want to walk with you everywhere that you are, every place that I want to be with you. Anyways, did I bring my water? Here he is. So we're going to try to get on this. All right. Rejoice. If you break down, rejoice means to be glad in the Lord. Anxious, in verse 6, is an uneasy feeling and uncertainty. Pay attention to that word uncertainty. Agitation, dread, or fear. Prayer, I have something on my phone that I have recently deleted, so I don't know exactly what it said, but it was along the lines of prayer. This word for prayer was actually worship. It was actually adoration. It was actually, a lot of times when we see prayer, when we think about prayer, it's a formal thing where we fold our hands and or we say, Father, I just thank you. And that is a form of prayer. But in this scripture, it says, when it says prayer and supplication, it is actually talking about adoration, adoring him, coming to him. Just adoring the Lord. Supplication is your need for something specific. Thanksgiving is being thankful or giving of thanks. Now let's go to verse 7 real quick. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The heart never refers to the organ in the Bible, to what we see as the heart. It doesn't refer to that in the word. It refers to our character, our will, our intentions, our inner being, the most of us, the center of us, is what it's referring to. So in this scripture, it's our character, our will, our intentions. About a man by the name of G. Archer, he says, it's your desires or your decision. Your minds is your thoughts or your purpose. And I want to go to comprehension. Comprehension is how we reason or understand things. And in this scripture right here, I found this when I was studying this. It was very, very powerful to me. In the moment I was studying and the Lord showed me this. If you do a word study and you do a word study and you combine it to different verses and stuff, it's very powerful in the word. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That word comprehension is the same word used as mind in Romans 12, 1 and 2. So let's read that real quick. I think you have it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That same word, comprehension, renewing of your mind, is how you reason or how you understand things. So it's important for us, for our minds to be renewed in the word, to be renewed in Jesus, and to be transformed, how we understand things. Because when you get to a place to where you actually allow God to be who God is, when you actually allow Jesus to be who Jesus, because a lot of times we restrict him by men's philosophies, men's traditions, and men's opinions. We restrict what God is trying to show us about ourselves and who we are in Christ. We are just as righteous as Jesus. God loves us with the same love as he loves Jesus. But it's hard for a believer to believe that a lot of times because we have made it about works. But when you understand that you're righteous, your works will follow. When you understand that you are the beloved, you will no longer search after things that are not of God because you're the beloved and there's nothing else that you need but Jesus. So those things that temporary fill you, those things that are temporary for you, that fill you for a moment but never satisfy you, you will put them aside when you understand that you're the beloved and you're the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. And that you're just as loved as Jesus is by God the Father. But it is a hard truth for Christians to bear for the simple fact of the way that the church has portrayed Jesus. Not the way Jesus has portrayed Jesus. Not the way the Word has portrayed Jesus, but the way that the church has, not the believe, not the unbelievers. The unbelievers are lost. The unbelievers don't know Jesus. The unbelievers, they don't know. But when Christians, guys, I was raised in it. If you have a bad thought on the way home and you die in a car wreck, you're going to hell. What? Where sin abides, grace abides the more? So what happens is men, I don't know why I'm on this, but we're going to go with it. Men will actually put you in bondage with words that they mean to set you free with. What's that called? Religion. The religious spirit is something that is very strong. It is very powerful. People that try to be free by their works will actually work themselves into bondage. Because they will be bound to a mindset that my works make me righteous. Instead of being free with the mindset that I'm righteous, therefore I can do works unto God. Did that make sense? Because when you truly understand that you are the righteousness of God, that you are loved by God the Father just with the same love as he loved Christ, you won't have a desire for the things that are not of God. You're going to desire things that are of him. You want to walk with him. You want to see him in every area of your life because he is the ultimate prize. He is the ultimate journey. There's nothing besides him. You say, well, you have marriage and you have kids and you have job and you, yes, and he walks with me in every aspect of those things. I am never outside of Christ. He is never outside of me. So stop separating those things. That's why do we worry? Why are we anxious? Because we will sit here and preach these things and then worry about where something's going to come from. Can you finally start aligning your words with the way that you believe? Or align your belief with the way that you preach. Preachers will preach freedom when they're in bondage. And it ain't about a salvation issue. It's about an identity issue. We've been talking about it all week. Me and Bruce and Miss Lisa have been talking about it a lot. It's something that the church has to walk into. Really, you just realize who you are. But we say these things. If I was to ask you as individuals, if you believe that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, if you believe that you're loved just as much as God loves Jesus with the same love, there's probably nobody in here that would say, no, I don't believe that because of X, Y, Z. But do our actions say that we believe that? Now, this is not a condemning thing. I want to bring you free this morning. That's all I want to do. This is not condemnation. This is not for you to have grief or strife or for you to be like, oh man, I'm so ashamed because I haven't been walking out the way that I believe. We're asking the Lord this morning to align, help us to align ourselves with who he is. That's all we're doing. Because that's all you really have to do is just align yourself with who he is. I disciple a lot of people that are, they have come from drugs, a lot of them. And that's really about the only people the Lord send me. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, can you send me somebody that's not so messed up, make it a little easier? Because some of them, I'm telling you, they're out there. And I don't really pray that. I'm just joking. Whoever he wants to send me, I'm thankful for. But these guys, the recovery rooms and all of those things, they still allow them, because they're put in a place of rules and regulations. They can't do this, they can't do that, because they need order in their life. It's a good thing. But they allow them, they can't do drugs, but they allow them to smoke. They allow them to vape. They allow them to dip and have nicotine and stuff like that. Now, I'm not getting on cigarettes. Understand where I'm coming from this morning. Hear me out. And I'll talk to them and they'll say, well, at least I'm not doing meth. And I say, but you don't understand. It's not the drugs, it's the spirit behind the drugs. You don't understand. It's not the drugs, but it's the bondage behind the drugs. It's the bondage behind cigarettes. It's the bondage behind caffeine. It's the bondage behind food. It's the bondage behind lying. It's the bondage behind God. It's the bondage behind those things. I'm not trying to get you free from a substance. I'm trying to get you free in Christ. And so what I begin to tell people is I don't harp on the vape and I don't harp on the cigarettes, but I simply let them know you don't need that, because you have found one that fills every need that you have. And Jesus literally desires to be our everything. Our everything. And I know some of you might have different views or different things like that, and that's completely fine. But when I disciple these guys, the things that I realize is they want to hold on to something, because it feels like it. What if they had this thought of what if it doesn't work out with God? What if I go back to drugs? What if? So they kind of are holding on to these things. So we look at a drug addict. And we say, what if? And you're like, man, if he would just let go of it, let's flip the script. God, what if you don't show up? What if I don't get healed? What if you don't heal this person? What if I can't pay these bills? What if I get COVID? What if I get, it's worry and it's anxiety. But we'll tell the drug addict, you ain't got to worry about it, because Jesus wants to supply your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And then we'll turn around the moment and the second and say, but God, what is? I don't understand, Lord. I don't understand why this is happening to me. I don't understand why my church family has done this. I don't understand why my natural family has done this. I don't understand why I've been manipulated. I don't understand why they've done it. And we do this constantly, trying to understand when it's never been our job to understand. It's been our job to trust. I need you to hear me this morning, because I promise you this will bring freedom. So in verse 7, your hearts never refers to the organ, it refers to our character, our will, our intentions. G. Archer describes it as desires or decisions, our minds or our thoughts or our purpose. Comprehension, how we reason or understand things. We went over, it's the same word in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Verse 7. I'm going to ask you a question real quick. What would you say the number one thing that anxiety steals or worry steals? Well, somebody said something first. Peace. Okay? Peace. What does this peace right here in verse 7 and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. This peace literally means rest, quietness, and get this one, wholeness. Jesus came to make you whole. Worry and anxiety steals your peace, your quietness, your rest, and your wholeness. So why are you preaching about worry this morning? Because if the church could ever get outside of worry and start operating in trust, we would see things moving like never before. Because one of the biggest things that stops an individual from walking in the calling of God that they have, from taking that first step, is what? What if? What if it don't work out? What if this happens? But God, I don't understand. Is that not the truth? But the Lord says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So how can a righteous man make a wrong decision? How can a righteous man take a wrong step? Are you sure you're supposed to go to Wisconsin? Yeah. You're sure you're supposed to go back to Mississippi? Yeah. Are you sure you're supposed to do these things? Yeah. Why? Because I'm righteous. Oh, you're holier than thou? I'm righteous. So what does that mean? My steps are, guess what? Ordered by the Lord. Well, don't you worry about this, don't you? No, I don't. Well, your business is, it's wintertime. Your business is going to slow down. I hear it all the time. Your business is going to slow down. No, it won't. Sometimes I pray it would. But I'm telling you, it won't. Why? Because my kingdom is not of this world. My Father is not of this world, but He is a heavenly Father. Like, if we truly believe that, if I need work, if I am driving down the road and I see a house in a neighborhood that I would like to work on, if I want to work in that neighborhood, I'll say, Jesus, I would like to work in that neighborhood. And within a matter of week or two, I will get a call for that neighborhood to come do some work there. Like, when were we actually going to start believing that God is who He says He is? That we are who God says that we are? That the things that Jesus did, we will do even greater. I'll punch COVID right in the mouth. If someone has COVID, I tell them to come to me, I'll lay hands on you. Someone says you'll get COVID. I said, I can't get COVID. You said, well, you're arrogant. No, I'm not. I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. And did Jesus ever get any disease? And I'm not, look, if you've dealt with COVID, I'm not coming against it. My father-in-law almost died. Almost. Till me and the kids laid hands on. And I understand that God gives the gift of faith to some people. I understand that, but that is why I'm bringing my gift of faith this morning, to encourage you and build you up so that you may walk in more faith. That's why you need someone who is encouraging to grab the microphone and give you an encouraging word, so that you will be encouraged. Amen. John 14, 25 through 27. I don't have to flip my Bible. I need to start sending you notes way before. This is the first time I've ever done it. And I actually have scriptures now. All right, John 14, 25 through 27. All these things I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, listen to this, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Please listen to this right here. Peace. I leave. What is anxiety still? Peace, rest, quietness, wholeness. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world does. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So listen, what do we search after so many times? What do so many people search after? And this is the truth. I see it all the time with Christians, all the time, with people who are followers of Jesus. And I try to bring them into freedom because, listen, I really don't worry. Now, that is part of my character. It used to drive my wife insane. It doesn't now because she's just like, we got it. We'll just roll with it. But for a while, it was a battle. Well, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? Well, baby, we good. The Lord told me to jump off this cliff. Just make sure you hand me my parachute. And that's our marriage. That is our relationship. The Lord told me to hire this person, this individual. Well, you need to do X, Y, Z with him. Yes, ma'am. You're right. That's our relationship, man. I hired one guy. I said, I'm going to hire this guy. And she said, you don't need to hire him. I was like, well, I need help. I ain't got nobody right now. She's like, you don't need to hire him. I was like, okay. Guess what I did? I hired him. Guess what he did? He brought drugs to work and ended up having somebody else do drugs with him. And then they really messed up on the job and I had to go fix it. But guess what I did? I said, yes, ma'am. From then on out, yes, ma'am. I actually didn't fire him. He actually left. So, but there are things that we do. Jesus said, my peace, not as the world gives. Why, as believers, do we still try to grab it the way the world grabs it? Why, as believers, do we still try to do things the way that the world does them? I wrote this down. I want to read it word for word. Many times we try to base God's response by the words we use, almost as if we are trying to manipulate God to do what we think needs to happen. And when this happens, it is done out of anxiety of the unknown and produces fear. When you pray to God out of anxiety of the unknown, it actually does not produce faith. It produces fear. Because what we do is when we pray to God out of anxiety, we're not trusting that he is good and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Because if somebody is good and they're good to you, then why are you going to worry about if these good things will happen to you? Like, does that make sense? So what we do is we pray in a place of anxiety and we literally try to manipulate God by the way that we pray so that he'll answer it to fit our understanding. And that will actually produce fear inside of you saying, well, what if God don't do that? But if you pray out of a place of faith, if you pray out of a place of understanding that regardless, God is good and there's nothing in him that is not good. And if you pray out of a place that understanding that I am the righteousness of God and that my steps are ordered by him, then you will never pray out of a place of fear. It will always be of a place of faith because you know that my father is good. And a good father, what does the Bible say? It says us being evil. That if Bree asked for bread, would you give her a snake or a rock? No. You would give her bread. And us being evil, this is what the word says, us being evil know how to give goods. How much more does our Heavenly Father? How much more? But when we come to God in thanksgiving, when we come to him in worship, we align ourselves with the peace of God and we have no need for understanding because the peace of God always trumps our understanding and puts us in a place of faith. When my mom died, I wanted to understand. But when I sought understanding, I never felt peace. But when I trusted God, peace was always there. But I didn't have understanding. That's powerful if y'all hear that. When I wanted to understand, God, why would you take my mom on my wedding day? Why would you allow my mom to die with this? Why would you allow her to go to the hospital when I told her you were going to heal her own? Why would you allow these things? This is my conversation with God on the back of a hospital, crying my eyes out at 19 years old or 20 years old. God, why would you allow this to happen? And peace was nowhere in sight. But then I would go and I would get in the presence of God. I would allow him to be who he is. And I would say, Lord, it doesn't matter what happens because I know you got me. Lord, I don't have to understand because you are a Jehovah Jireh. You are my peace. You are everything that I need. And whatever you see fit, Lord, however it happens, I trust in you. And peace came just like that. Why? Because I forgot about my understanding. And I started looking for his presence. Because death is a hard thing on this earth. I don't care what anybody says. Well, they're in glory. Well, my mom's in glory. I saw her going to heaven. Literally. He gave me a vision that I literally saw her dance into heaven the night she died. Alex was actually just talking about this at breakfast. She passed away. And that's a story in itself, but she passed away. I picked my sister up off the floor. I talked to her, gave her to her husband. I walked outside. I had two little cousins sitting there that they couldn't come in the ICU. And my mom's name was Serena, but they called her Aunt Rena. So I walked by them and I said, guys, Aunt Rena's dead. And they started crying. I turned the corner and I punched the cinder block wall as hard as I could. Nothing happened to my hand, thank God. I hit it as hard as I could and I started crying. And I walked out and there's this huge, bay window. And I walked out and I was crying and I was like, Jesus. And then all of a sudden, just... And I saw her. She did this dance. She was short and stocky. She was 5 foot, about 185 pounds. She was stocky. Her calves were like this big. It was ridiculous. But I saw her do this dance into glory. Never needed understanding after that. Death is a hard thing. But if you're in Christ, you never die. Why? Oh. How does that song go? Death, where is your sting? My mama ain't never died. I preached at her funeral. I stood up on that pulpit. Everybody was crying. I looked at them. I said, Mama's just on vacation. And I said, I'm going to join her one day. Because she ain't hurting. Because some time ago, she gave her life over to the Lord. And she never dies. We'll never die. If we die, then Jesus didn't do what he was sent to do. If we believe that Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave, why are we worried about death? Why are we worried about hell? And why are we worried about the grave? Because we have a worldly mentality. And we're seeking for understanding instead of just walking in his peace. You will find his peace in his presence. Every time. Anxiety is inconsistent with the love of God and trust in him. He desires to give you good gifts. Anxiety comes from the need or want to understand. So ultimately, I want to ask you this. Do we seek understanding or do we seek peace? Well, I can't have understanding. I can't have peace if I don't understand. Yeah, you can. Your understanding actually pulls your peace out. Ultimately, we would say that if we understand, that will bring peace. We would be wrong because that's what the world says. The world always gives false peace. The verse that got me through a lot of my life is Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into what? To your own understanding. And all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Man, don't the Bible, like, talk about the Bible? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Go back to verse 6. In all your ways, submit to him. I'm sorry, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. Guys, that's a hard thing to do. I don't care what anybody says, it's a hard thing to do. I asked the Lord when I was 18 years old. I was driving down the road. I'll never forget where I was. I said, Lord, I want increase my faith. Lord, increase my patience. And people will always tell you, be careful what you pray for. You just might get it. That's stupid. I want it. I'm praying for it. And I understand what they're saying. They're saying, be careful. Well, then they don't realize how good God is. Why would God want to hold anything not good from me? He doesn't. Why? Because we are supposed to be the exact representation of Jesus on this earth. The ambassadors of Christ. Did he hold anything good back from Jesus? Do you know what heir and co-heir means? The firstborn among many brethren? Lord, give me faith. Lord, give me patience. Stuff began to happen in my life. Well, you got your faith and you got your patience. I don't for one second believe that God was like, you know what, I'm going to take your mom out so I can give you faith. That's stupid. That's the dumbest. You're sick because of the sin that you made. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I'm going to tell you the way I believe. You're sick because you live in a fallen world and you haven't realized you're from another kingdom yet that's not of this world. Is it wrong of you? No, I'm not saying that. I believe we're supposed to be completely whole. And I know y'all have heard the story, some of y'all haven't, so I'm going to share it and then we'll be closing. When I was 18 years old, mom was sick. She was diagnosed with stage three breast cancer. I began to pray for my mom. And I began to hear the Lord. And I went up to my mom. I don't know if it was a dream. I don't know if it was a vision. I don't know what it was because I can't remember. But I specifically heard the Lord say, your mom does not need to go to the hospital. I will heal her at home. 100% heard that. Went to my mom. She was sitting in her chair, her favorite recliner. She was already bald headed. From the chemo and radiation. She had one strand of hair. She wouldn't shave it off. It was actually pretty funny. I was like, I'm going to pull that with tweezers. She's like, nah, you ain't going to touch my hair. And I was about 225 pounds. I was lifting weights. So I weigh 225 now, but I just ain't as muscular as I was then. And I crawled up in her lap, 5 foot, 180, then she's about 150 pounds. Crawled up in her lap. And I remember she said, my boy, because I had just come in from work. She said, come here. I sat in her lap, she said, my boy. And I looked at her, I said, mama, God wants to heal you at home. He told me that. Don't go to the doctors. Don't go to the doctors. I said, he will heal you at home. She looked at me, she had big blue eyes. She looked at me and she said, I don't have that kind of faith. And the next morning, I come in from fishing or something, and she always drank her coffee. We lived on a lake, my grandma's lake, and she was done drinking her coffee, and I come in the house, and she was kind of excited. And she said, I was watching, she had birdhouses, sparrows, and different We call them different things, but they're pretty much sparrows. And she said, I was watching them. And she said, and the Lord reminded me of the verse that if he cares the lilies of the valleys and the birds of the air and all of that, that not even Solomon, all of his splendor is arrayed like one of these, how much more will he take care? How much more? And I jumped up and I said, yes. I said, he wants to heal you at home. I'm telling you, he's going to take care of you. And she looked at me and she said, I don't have the faith. I said, okay. And I kept praying, God, touch her. God, do this. God, do that. So she goes to the hospital. She has beat breast cancer. She's in remission. She got leukemia. What gave her leukemia? The radiation, the chemo. Okay, all right, we're going to beat this. We're going to pray you through this. We're going to do this. And we were in Birmingham, and they had a big parade. And I remember all my sister, my dad, my grandma, and all them, they just kind of needed a break from the hospital because I hate going to hospital. I ain't going to lie to you. And they went out, and I said, I'm just going to stay with Mom. And I just sat there with her, and I prayed over, and I spent time. She was kind of in and out of it, and I spent time with her, and I would just speak to the Lord, and I'd talk to her and all of those things. I'm engaged. I'm about to be married, and I'm telling my dad we need to get married at the feet of my mom, and he's like, no, you go do your wedding and all that stuff. He's like, your mom's not dying. Dad, always had faith. Your mom's not. I don't know why I'm sharing this, but we're going to get there. He said, your mom's not dying. I said, okay. I said, well, we'll have the wedding. We'll do that. So she beats leukemia. But she's in the hospital still because she's not well. She's not whole. She's really small now. She's probably like maybe 130 pounds. My mom is like, she's thick, like me. Like I'm big boned, I guess you'd say. But she, like, at 130, she looks sick. Like sick. And so, but she beat leukemia, but she's still in the hospital, and we're like, all right, she beat leukemia, and we go and we have our wedding, and it was a decent wedding, you know. Some people were sad, you know, some people were happy, you know. I mean, it was tough. My dad prayed over us, you know. My grandma, my granddad, they're a wreck because their daughter's in the hospital, and they don't have the faith. They don't believe. They don't think God's going to do it and all this kind of stuff. And I'm believing. I'm not looking forward. I'm thinking I'm going on my honeymoon. I'm going to get back. Mom's going to be out of the hospital. I'm thinking all of these things. We get married. We're headed to check into a hotel at Bessemer. We're going to stay the night there. Then we're going to go to Gatlinburg in the morning. As we drive out, we're going to see Mom say, hey, bye, show all rings, head out. Go to check into the hotel. Dad calls me. He said, bud, it's not looking good. Y'all need to get here. I said, okay. Here we go. We're praying. And this is crazy. This is crazy. But my mom was non-responsive all day. She hadn't looked at anybody. You know, she is on her deathbed. I'm thinking, God's going to raise her up. I don't care. Like, I don't care. She can be on deathbed. I don't care. She can be 6 feet under. I don't care. Like, that's where I was. I don't care. So on her deathbed, she had done had, I don't know, septic, I guess, is where she had bile in her eyes. But she was unresponsive all day. She hadn't looked at anybody all day. And me and my wife walk in. We were the last ones there, of course. And we're holding hands. We both have, I guess, our wedding ring hand. And we walk in. I'm on this side. And yeah, we're holding hands here, and I'm on this side. And I go to her, and I go, hey, Mama. And my mama opens her eyes. She looks at me. She looks at my wife. She looks at me. She looks at my wife. She looks down at our hands, and she smiles. She closes her eyes. And then for the next 6 hours, she would almost flatline, and we would pray her back. She'd almost flatline, we'd pray her back. It was 6 hours, back and forth. People crying, people doing all, we're praying. It starts going down, I start shine dying. Goes back up. Starts going down, I stop right, goes back. I mean, it's for 6 hours. My dad, they had a little bathroom in the ICU, and my dad goes in there. And we're sat down right now and just watching. My dad goes in, and I can hear him yelling, and I can hear him screaming. And I'm like, what is going on? And he comes out. And he walks on this side of the bed. And he gathers all the family around. And he looks at my mom. And he said, baby. Well, he tells us, he said, I'm going to pray. And she's either going to get up and go home or she's going to go home. He said, we're not doing this no more. And then he began to pray. And as he was praying, I don't know why I'm telling this, but we're gonna get there. We just have to follow the Holy Spirit on this, because I really don't like telling this story. I mean, it's a good story, but everybody starts crying, and I'm just like. But we're sitting there, and he's praying, and this is the first time I had ever spoken in tongues out loud without, like, an interpreter. Like, I've been praying in tongues since I was 12, but this is the first time, and I'll never forget, I was super loud. And as he was praying, I remember doing this. And I was praying and I was praying. And then I heard the Lord say, just let her go. And I just lifted. I can feel it now. And I lifted and I literally could see, feel, just she just went home. It felt a long time to me. I didn't know how long it was for me. But Dad said it was within 10 seconds of him getting done praying, she was gone. Done. I could ask why to this day, but that would steal my peace. I could trust in the Lord that He is good in every situation, every circumstance, and I can walk in His peace. My grandmother does not have peace because she always wants to know why. Why would God take someone like that? My mom was a great woman. She was kind. She just had a huge heart. A worshiper. She loved the Lord. Why would God, she would get mad and she would say stuff out of anger. Your understanding will steal your peace. Don't look for understanding in situations. Look for His presence. And your understanding will be this, that no matter what, He's good. And then when that's your understanding, it's impossible not to have peace. I think some of y'all's peace, because of situations or circumstances, you can come to the piano. Whoever is playing, if y'all don't mind. I believe in laying on of hands. I know y'all do too. But this morning, I just feel that maybe your peace has been taken because of a situation. You're trying to understand so much that it steals your peace. And look, the Lord gave me this word. This is not something that, but when He gave me this word, I realized what I had walked through. I realized why I had peace. Because look, a lot of times, sometimes your peace will come with understanding, but a lot of times it will not. But you, I promise you, that if you search after His peace, your understanding will not matter to you anymore. Because you'll realize that His ways are higher than our ways, that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And if you can understand that He loves you with the same love as He loves Jesus, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Jesus could have said, I don't understand. I see your purpose in this. But why does it got to be me? Why does it got to be this? Why can't they keep sacrificing lambs and bulls and oxen? Why can't they keep doing that? But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus was like, I might not understand everything. Lord, let this cup pass from me. But nonetheless, your will be done, not mine. Because I understand that you're good. because I understand that you're faithful. Because I understand that you'll never leave me, you'll never forsake me. And that even if I don't understand why, your peace and your presence will guide me. And that death no longer reigns over me. Jesus came out and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the first and the last. I am the resurrection and the life. He who comes to me will never die. I say we get our peace back this morning. I say, we say, whatever to our understanding, Lord, if you want me to understand this situation, bring understanding to me. But God, I have to have your peace. Because where your peace is, I'm fine right there. Bonnie, there might have been some things that you didn't understand. There might have been some things that you had questions to. Now, I feel that you're a woman of peace. There's no doubt. I feel that. You stay in his presence. But I just feel to tell you that even family members might not understand. Or they might have questions, or they might question God. And I just feel the Lord saying that you will show them how to have peace, because it will be in his presence. And in his presence comes fullness of joy. So what things tried to steal, the Lord's presence will replenish. I just feel that.